Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Pleasure to be with you. 35 minutes after the hour. On the phone with me right now is Sheriff Tim Mueller of Linn County. Sheriff, it's a pleasure to have you on the air. Thanks for taking the time.
Glad to be here, sir.
You wrote a letter to the Vice President of the United States. What'd you tell him?
Well, what I told him is that the position of Linn County Sheriff's Office, and which is the office that I hold, obviously, here in Linn County, Oregon, is that any overreaching and unconstitutional firearms restrictions, we would not participate in enforcing, nor would we stand idly by and let it happen in our county.
What do you think is actually driving this whole thing? We know about the event a month ago at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, but do you think these folks actually have in mind that this is going to change the safety and security of children in schools? Or do you think they just have another agenda that they won't say out loud?
Oh, it's absolutely another agenda. It's been their agenda for some time. It came up during the presidential debate. That issue was raised again. That was well before the Newtown shooting and the one here in Oregon up at Clackamas Town Center. It's been on their agenda for years. It's nothing new.
Well, so how do we fight back against that when there seem to be a fair number of people, Democrats certainly, and perhaps even a few Republicans, who seem willing to sell out the Second Amendment rights of Americans to satisfy a PR purpose or perhaps help the president further his anti-gun agenda?
Well, we have to be heard. The people have to speak up. The day of the silent majority, being able to just sit back and be an active participant in our republic, I think those are long gone. People are just going to have to make their voices heard. It's kind of disturbing. The last presidential election was, millions less than the voter turnout than the one in 2008. So people are, for whatever reason, are unwilling to, step up and, be a voice in our society.
Sheriff, I know at this point as we're talking to you this afternoon, we don't know exactly what's going to be proposed tomorrow by the president or the vice president, or what's going to be proposed as constitutional or as measures that would be taken by Congress versus those that would be done by executive order. But at the same time that we don't know the specifics, what are you expecting them to roll out?
It's anybody's guess with them. It's a crapshoot. Whether or not the vice president reads it or not is going to be anyone's guess. I did send it certified mail, but that's the part that bothers me, and I know a lot of other folks out there in my profession is, and just regular folks. What is it? We were supposed to have a government of transparency, and everything's done behind closed doors, and it's only sound bites that the people are getting fed. And if they would be up front and say, hey, this is what we're looking at, I got 19 points here, well, what are they? And that's the era that we live in, but we definitely need to be heard.
Sheriff, let me ask you about this. The things I'm expecting, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, I anticipate they're going to want to bring back the so-called assault weapons ban, even though assault weapons were banned in 1986. And what's out there now is ordinary semi-automatic rifles like the AR-15 or the Ruger Mini 14 or hundreds of other models of guns, some of which look a lot like a military gun but are not, and some of which do not look like a military-style rifle. But they call them military-style assault rifles, even though they're not fully automatic. They don't meet the criteria. But we'll use the term just because otherwise the conversation gets complicated. If the president says he's going to insist on a ban on the sale of military-style assault rifles, so-called, that's the thing I'm anticipating. But beyond that, he wants to ban the sale of magazines for those rifles or for any rifles that go beyond 10 shots. 10 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
Those are the laws you're talking about that you will not enforce in Linn County, and that you will protect the people of Linn County from the enforcement of those laws by federal agents.
That is correct. And again, how are they going to enforce that law?
Well, let me ask you, let me put it right to you. So Linn County probably has a gun show now and then, does it not?
It, a couple really good ones.
And I've been to some of them. So they have a Linn County gun show. Sellers show up to sell rifles that contain those magazines, unless the Oregon legislature also acts and makes those illegal, assuming they're still legal in Oregon. Federal agents show up, U.S. Marshals, perhaps Secret Service, maybe FBI, and they show up at the gun show and say, we're going to start arresting people who have these in their hands or who sell them to someone. We'll also attempt to sting people by walking up in plain clothes and buying them. What can you do as the sheriff to protect people from that?
Well, the statute's pretty clear. I'm the conservator of the peace of this county and the chief law enforcement executive. And we have those types of issues. Obviously, we're going to have to cross that bridge if it comes to it. But I refuse to allow the citizens of my county be turned into criminals by misguided politicians. And if that means that we have to take a stand in a situation like that, then, you know, so be it. Again, we'll cross that bridge if it comes to it. But I really am concerned about, you know, if there's any kind of federal attempts of enforcement where they go out to rural America, and specifically in my case, rural Linn County, and if they do pass some sort of mandatory registration and they start, you know, wanting to collect guns, that's going to be a huge issue. And I think that they would be pretty negligent in thinking that nothing bad is going to happen if people go out there, if federal agents go out to enforce that. Otherwise, honest citizens. I mean, that's going to be a bad day in any county in America if that comes to it.
Sheriff, that's the thing we've talked about on the show. People have said, well, Lars, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I said, I assume that at some point if they pass these laws, they're going to show up at somebody's door and say the deadline is now a month or two in the past or 6 months in the past, and we understand you own these firearms. We want you to either give them up or we're coming in to take them. And I anticipate that some people will cave in at that point, not wanting to, you know, to have to shoot a federal agent and not wanting to go to jail and deprive their family of a breadwinner. But at that point, at some point, somebody is going to say, you aren't taking my guns, and it'll be a Randy Weaver, Ruby Ridge kind of standoff somewhere in America, maybe in Linn County.
That is true. It is possible that could happen.
So tell me this, the Oregon legislature is working just as busily, it seems, as the Congress, already ginning up all kinds of limits. I want to know your thought. A couple of those bills that are out there are suggesting that these are the guns that are creating the problems. Is that your experience as a lawman of almost 30 years, that's causing the problem?
Not at all. The problem is a broken system. You can go back years. You know, we discussed that at length here in my own office regarding, you know, how do we get to this? And I don't want to get off topic too much, Lars, but
it's okay with me.
I graduated from West Albany High School in 1979, took a class. It was an art class. It was a leather class. I was able to bring my .30-30 Winchester and build a saddle scabbard for that, bring the rifle to school. I just had to check in with Tom Holman, the principal, let him know. And, oh, yeah, just keep it in your locker till you got class and get it out of here as soon as you get your pattern drawn. You know, how did we get here from there? And you can point your finger at a lot of things, but the reality is you could say, okay, we're going to ban all these scary-looking guns and these, you know, magazines that hold, you know, what somebody says is a random number of too many rounds. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just beating an old drum here, but it's who's going to give those up? The bad guys are still going to have them.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I mean, the criminals, I mean, in my 30 years of experience, they're not going to give these things up. The crooks are going to still have them. And then you put honest, decent folks at risk because, yeah, it's just the bad guys got better weaponry than what they do. And, you know, where do you draw the line? Well, I think this is where the line has to be drawn. I think I actually got way away from your original question, Lars. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right. But, Sheriff, I wanted you to reflect on that because let me tell you what's happening today. The New York legislature's Senate side has already passed a bill forbidding the possession of any magazine past 7 rounds, which makes the pistol I carry every day illegal in New York State. And it also tells the citizens not you can't buy one. It's you can't possess it, and you have 1 year to give it up, get rid of it, take it out of the state, destroy it, hand it over, or sell it, but not in the state of New York, because if that bill gets through their House of Representatives, you will be forbidden to have any gun that carries more than 7 rounds in the magazine. The state of Connecticut has a bill that's pending right now. I don't know where it sits in their process, which forbids any gun that has more than one shell in it, which would mean that every double-barreled shotgun is illegal, every revolver is illegal, every rifle that holds even 3 in the magazine, like a typical deer rifle, will be illegal to possess or sell in the state of Connecticut if that law is passed. So that's how far they're thinking they can get with this stuff.
And the frustrating thing about that, Lars, is what are they doing about shoring up the broken mental health system? And we've seen that in Oregon, you know, years ago, when a former governor, you know, the state fell upon hard times financially back in the 90s. And the reason was because the people of Oregon that were property owners, we all got tired of rampant property taxes and passed Measure 5. One of the first things that happened, you know, they gutted the state, Oregon State Police. They closed multiple Oregon State hospitals, mental institutions around the state. It used to be, up until that point, you could do a peace officer hold on a person that was, you know, you'd catch them out in the middle of an intersection, and they'd be, you know, obviously they were suffering from some sort of a mental impairment. And you could get them off the street, take them to, like, the Oregon State Hospital here in Linn County. That's where we would take them to. And they would be on a 72-hour peace officer hold where sometimes they were held longer and sometimes they were held indefinitely because they were going through some serious problems and it took them that long to get stabilized. And we don't have that ability anymore. And I also run a jail, and after that and up to and including now, and I'm not the only sheriff in Oregon, obviously, that runs a jail. That's been a huge issue with us is they've turned local jails into local holding facilities for people who are, you know, mentally unstable.
Sheriff, one last question before we run out of time.
Sure.
Do you expect your other sheriffs, your fellow sheriffs in Oregon, Washington, and the rest of the United States to join you in this kind of declaration?
Well, I do, actually. I sent that out to my fellow sheriffs last night and have heard back from a number of them, all very positive. And I'm pretty fairly active in the Oregon Sheriff's Association, so I know, you know, most all of them pretty well, and they're all fairly like-minded, and our number one priority is to take care of our citizens in our counties and keep them safe, and that's what we intend to do. I can't speak for all of them, obviously, but I can speak for myself, and I can say that's what our intent and our mission here is to protect our citizens.
Sheriff Mueller, I can tell you just from the way my email has exploded in the last 10 minutes that there are people out there, citizens, who support what you're doing. They applaud it. They're saying, God bless that sheriff. Sheriff, thank you for the time.
Anytime, Lars. It was good talking to you.
Nice talking to you as well. Sheriff Tim Mueller from Linn County, Oregon. You've got the Lars Larson Show.